Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Kerry Williams joins the program as we talk USA boxing and the fallout of allowing men to compete against women in boxing. That's right. Men against women in boxing. And then we respond to the David French article, including my viral tweet and what does it mean to be anti-fragile. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. There's some news that came out the other day that is noteworthy. It's not surprising, but it is noteworthy. We have been saying for a while that men competing in female sports is not just dangerous, but it's immoral. Looks like it's coming to boxing as well. Someone might get killed. I don't think I'm out of line to say that. Joining us now is Kerry Williams, level 4 USA boxing coach, and Kerry Williams is also the founder of Tussle. Kerry, thanks so much for joining the program. Walk us through this recent news here that biological men can punch a woman in the face.
Yes, this rule just came out with USA Boxing. Now, I've been a member of USA Boxing for 26 years, and one of their big points has always been safety for everything. And so when I saw the news, I could not believe that they are now allowing transgender folks to compete against women in USA Boxing.
So what is the rationale here exactly in the female? I mean, who's making this decision? I mean, this is Manny Pacquiao going to be able to say he's a woman now and he could just punch a woman in the face?
Well, I guess the rules are that they have to have a certain testosterone level. So they have to go through surgery. So cutting, you know, pieces off. And then as long as they're at this certain testosterone level, they're able to compete. So once 18 years old, this is when the rule takes effect for the individual.
What is the testosterone? I'm just curious. Do you know it off the top of your head? What would it be?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do know that once a person, a man, a boy hits puberty, none of that's going to matter. I mean, even before that, there are a lot of differences between boys and girls. That's why, you know, we have X and Y chromosomes and so on. So none of that is going to matter in this situation.
Well, bone density, muscle mass, and lung capacity don't change based on your testosterone rate. And I was just curious because you could still perform at an elite level even with a suppressed testosterone rate, and what would be considered to be low for a man very well might be even not, a woman might never be able to get their testosterone rate that high. So talk to us, what exactly is this governing body? Is it a board of people? Why would they make a decision like this? And talk about some of the response they're receiving.
Yeah, well, they are getting a lot of backlash. I don't know exactly the person that has been responsible to make this decision. They do have a board of directors. So, you know, they had to all get together and say, yeah, this was a good idea. Again, I'm so shocked because the whole time I have been a member of USA Boxing, as a boxer, as a coach, as an official, as a promoter of amateur boxing shows, everything has been about safety. no matter what. As a matter of fact, a ringside physician had reached out to me who she saw a video that I had posted on Instagram. And she sent me their recommendations, the Association of Ringside Physicians. USA Boxing was fully aware of this. And they said, no, this is very unsafe. And obviously, it's not competition. It's not fair competition.
Yeah, and it's also just in defiance of reality. So the criteria then is changing. Do you think that this would result in women potentially getting seriously injured? We know this. If, for example, a woman got significantly hurt in a volleyball match in North Carolina, I believe, in high school because of a biological male that spiked a volleyball and either knocked her out or did something. And so also reiterate, this board oversees the road to the Olympics. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, this you have to go through USA Boxing and all of their tournaments to go to the Olympic Games. Now, not that long ago, 10-ish years ago, women were then allowed to compete in the Olympics. Before that, we weren't even allowed to compete in the Olympics. So we've struggled and fought to get our way there. And now we have unfair competition and danger. You know, as far as injuries, let me tell you a really short story. When I was boxing, I remember being 30 years old. I was sparring with a teenage boy. He was 16, 17 years old and going very light on me. Now, that's what we always do in boxing with the girls, the boys always go very light. And he still cracked my ribs with a body shot. And he did not mean to. But there is such a stark difference. And that was a teenage boy.
Jeez. How old was that teenage boy?
He was 16, just going to turn 17 years old.
So I'm going to ask kind of an approximation question. And so this is the way it works in basketball. I could say that usually the freshman boys basketball team can compete at level of a pretty good, let's say, varsity team in basketball. That's usually the interval, right? So 14-year-old boys can compete usually with the girls. What would that interval be? I know that story is very powerful, but I'm sure there's something comparable in boxing. What would the, if you were to go full force, right, what would the age differential or size differential be in boxing?
It would be, the size would have to be equal in boxing. And the age, let's say maybe a 13-year-old boy would be like equivalent to like the power and everything else that's going along. Like say we're sparring and we're sparring all out, 12, 13 years old.
And you would be at your current level or that, that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm speechless. Like, just so like you're saying a professional 19-year-old boxer would female and a 12-year-old boxing male who knows what he's doing would be about at equilibrium.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry, but no amount of drugs or hormones is going to close that gap. I mean, that is, and I just want to reiterate this, that if you're doing testosterone replacement therapy, or in this case, you're doing estrogen and you're trying to lower your testosterone rate, that it, first of all, the studies show, until they got manipulated, because it's just obvious common sense, but bone density, muscle mass, and lung capacity, those alone. And no matter how much training that you as a female do and heart capacity and your ability to be able to endure cardiovascular stress, a male has about a 1.5% advantage over a female. And there's nothing sexist about this. It's just the way God made us, right? So I just, what is then the path forward? Are you going to appeal this? Are there going to be boycotts? I mean, for me, this is a major, major issue and story. And they're teasing this and teasing this. And the Paris Olympics are coming up this July. It's not going to happen this quickly, but it's just a matter of time until the International Olympic Committee starts to allow men to compete. I have a thought on that, which is the third world countries aren't going to put up with this, right? The Western countries might push for it. But anyway, I said a lot. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. You know, what other countries are going to go, oh, okay, yeah, that's fair competition. Not many.
Yeah,
so
like Nicaragua
I don't know.
Is not going to put up with that. So, but yeah, sorry,
yeah.
Continue.
I don't know, you know, where it's going to go when it gets to that point. But, you know, right now we're going to be in an Olympic Games. Obviously, the women who are competing, they're all women. They've all made their way there. They've all worked very, very hard for years and years and years. But the next Games, that's going to be a different story if we don't get this reversed. I know there are a couple of petitions out there that are being signed to, you know, obviously stop this, but you know, everybody says, what's the solution? Well, what is the solution? Do we have a co-ed, you know, team? Do we have a transgender team? Do we have a all sexes team, and everybody can join that team? I'm not really sure what exactly is the solution.
I mean, the solution is you tell people to compete against. I mean, here's what's so sick about this. Let's pretend you're a biological man. Then keep competing as biological men. You can think whatever you want, okay? You can call yourself Sally, Susie, Marie, and do as many surges as you want. Go fight men, okay? How's that going to work out for you, pal? And I know you're being super diplomatic and sweet and all this. I don't have to be such. That there is, it is a fact that the men that do this generally are subpar, mediocre athletes against other men, and they tend to excel when they go into female sports. We know this with Thomas. We know this with cyclists. We know this with track and field championships. We see this with wrestling championships. They're not exactly doing great against men. And then they go and they break all these women's records, and we're supposed to praise them. It's sick. It's disgusting. It's awful. As we've all seen over the past few years, the amount of heavy metals, microplastics, and other toxins we are all exposed to has only increased. These are important world issues we must continue to discuss, and since you know that I take my health seriously, I only stand by the best. One company that is aware of these global challenges and that I proudly support is Ascent Nutrition, which has unique health products meant for these times. One I've been using is their pine pollen tincture, which contains 200 nutrients and important components like glutathione and DHEA. Glutathione is known for healthy detoxification and immune support, while DHEA is known as the happiness hormone and supports mood and brain health. Pine pollen is also nature's highest source of special phytohormones, which support hormone function, libido, and adrenal health. I love it because you could truly feel the benefits, and since I am now telling everyone about it, they expect to sell out fast. Before they sell out, click the link in the description below and use the code Kirk to save 10% on your pine pollen tincture and all other products. Kerry Williams continues with us, founder of Tussle and Level 4 USA boxing coach. The announcement is to allow men compete against what compete is there. I mean, I just from a traditionalist standpoint, I was always told that men shouldn't hit women, and I totally agree with that. I think it's grotesque and wrong. I mean, just there must be something really unhinged and mentally wrong with a man that even want to do this. Honestly, you never ever ever touch a woman, period. It's just a like a golden rule of life. Like outside of insanely fringe scenarios, I can't imagine there to be a scenario where you would violate that. It's like a golden rule of society and civilization. And so I want to play this piece of tape here. This is Clarissa Shields, famous female boxer, getting knocked out by a run-of-the-mill guy. This is there, someone's going to... Oh God, I hope I'm wrong. Goodness, I hope I'm wrong. Hope nobody dies. Play cut 32.
Death. Oh!
Death. Oh! So your reaction to this?
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, like you said, I've always been taught like men don't hit women. And I know I'm pretty good at boxing. I'm pretty proficient at it. I've been around the sport for 26 years, but I would never step to a man. I would never have this kind of ego like, oh, I have hands. I can do this. I can do that. And then step up to somebody and try to fight them. That was a man. It's common sense, but at the same time, it's kind of crazy. Like, I don't understand why any woman would want to fight a man, first of all. And that video you just played, it just doesn't surprise me. There's just a stark difference between men and women.
So in closing here, do you think there's going to be opt-outs or boycotts over this? What is the response? Are you creating a community of people to push back against this?
I am. Yeah, I'm hoping that there is some sort of walkout with the female athletes. It's challenging, right? Because they've all worked really hard. You know, some of them are going to the Olympics right now. They're doing the Olympic trials. So it's a very, they look at it like, well, I want to do what I've been trying to do. And then if I walk out now, what's going to happen? So I feel them there. But at the same time, if we don't all do something, then nothing is going to change.
Honestly, there's one way to solve this, which is that the best boxing men, the best, whoever they are, needs to go find these deranged guys and challenge them to a fight in the street. Just like outside of the ring and just go straight up to them if they're the same weight class and just say, come on, tough guy. Come on, let's go. And film it. Be like, let's fight right now. Bare knuckled in the alley since you're so tough. Like, you need to go.
I love it.
You need to go find whoever the, again, I'm kind of out of the boxing space, but like Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao are kind of the limit of my boxing. but it's just, think how far we've come. And this is, by the way, this is how men should stand up for women, is that there should be some sort of a, here's how it should work. Okay. U.S. boxing is a joke. Is that one of these like Dylan Mulvaney types who thinks that he can go pound on women, shows up, and out of nowhere, the woman's like, actually, I have a man here to fight you. Like Colby Covington shows up and hospitalizes him or something. Honestly, that's what needs to happen. We should not allow men to hit women, period. That's a civilizational issue. Final thoughts.
And I think that men should stand up for what's right. And not just the women walk out, but what about the men that are a part of USA Boxing? They need to stand up as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, the men part of USA Boxing should find the men that are thinking they're women and go pick fights with them. Do it honorably. Don't sneak attack them. Don't go find them in an alley. Like don't go, like, just ambush them. Go eye to eye and say, let's do this, pal. Since you're so tough and you want to go beat up on women, let's fight. Literally, that's what boxing is all about. But I will venture a guess. Any man who goes to fight women is not a very good boxer, wants to resurrect their career, they're narcissists, they're cheats, they're losers, and they should be beat up, kicked out of the sport. Thank you so much for the time, and we have your back. Hopefully men start to act like men. Carrie Williams, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. I know interest rates are not what they were a couple years ago, but I want to give you my perspective. Did you know in 1971, the interest rate for a mortgage was 7.33%? If you waited for the interest rate to go down, you would not have purchased a home until 1993. Renting for 22 years while you waited, in the meantime, the value of real estate quadrupled. Don't wait to buy real estate. Marry the house, not the rate. You could always refinance, everybody. Take advantage of the slower market now, and you can again refinance when rates go down. Once rates start dropping, the frenzy will start all over again. My friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian are amazing, and they recently helped me with a purchase, and they can help you too. They've been amazing to work with. I cannot say enough good things about Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian. You can call them the phone number 888-888-1172 or go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Look, if you are Gen Z or millennial, you have a little bit of money put aside, it might be the best opportunity to go to andrewandtodd.com and buy a home. Get in the market. Once you're in the buyer's game, you must never leave the buyer game. And again, I encourage you guys to check it out right now. Interest rates, they're signaling that they're going to go down, but don't wait. The price of real estate very well might continue to go up. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com. It is a simplified summary, but it's absolutely correct, which is Donald Trump's resilience, his anti-fragility, which is one of my favorite terms. I'll repeat what that means. For those of you that have never heard us dive into it before, is really surprising people. An anti-fragile candidate, an anti-fragile organization, is something that is more than resilient. There's a great book by Nassim Taleb called Anti-Fragile. I encourage you all to read it. It's a little bit wonky, somewhat abstract. I'm sure Blake has read it. It's tough to get through. It's written very academically, but at times it really flows. And there's a couple chapters that I would encourage you to follow. Essentially, it breaks into three different categories. You have fragile. We all know what that is. You have resilient organizations or companies, and then you have anti-fragile. One, two, three. And when something is anti-fragile, it doesn't merely survive opposition or adversity. That is what resilience is. It gets stronger the more you oppose it. An anti-fragile company, an anti-fragile country, an anti-fragile organization is very hard to come across. Very hard. When they exist, however, they're nearly unstoppable because opposition is actually the life force of an anti-fragile organization or movement. The MAGA movement and Donald Trump, we are anti-fragile. The more they throw at us, it makes us stronger and it drives them nuts. And the smart people on the left are starting to say it out loud. Over the weekend, Barack Obama came out and he said that he is just shocked and surprised, and it is noteworthy, at Trump's durable political strength. Michelle Obama has come out and she is pontificating on some podcast about how it's going to be bad for her mental health because she's not sure how this election is going to turn out. Post January 6th, they were trying to make everything about January 6th. And yet, the deeper we dive into it, they don't have a political agenda to run on in 2024. It's about fear of Trump. And they're starting to recognize and realize that the movement is across demographics, young and old. It's across income levels, working class and business owners. It's across racial lines. Here's Michelle Obama spouting off. Play cut 30.
The things that keep me up because you don't have control over them. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, where are people, where are we in this? You know, where are our hearts? What's going to happen in this next election? I am terrified about what could possibly happen because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit, it affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted.
The Biden campaign is starting to realize this. They were kind of playing it cool hand Luke for a while. They're kind of just being chill. Chill as a cucumber. Now you're starting to see some panic. They would love to remove Joe Biden, but he is white knuckling. He is not going to go willingly. Now, they might kill him, like they're going to try to kill Trump. And the intel agencies have been known to do that. I certainly hope that doesn't happen, but that's what they do. Absent that, Joe Biden looks like he's going to be the nominee, or he might step out at the last possible moment to get Gavin Newsom come in. But listen to this shocking tape here. It's amazing. The guy who made Joe Biden president, not Barack Obama, not Valerie Jarrett, Clyburn, the South Carolina reset back in 2020. Let's play cut 3.
As President Biden ramps up his general election campaign, there are new warning signs. The Washington Post reporting former President Obama has raised questions about the structure of President Biden's reelection campaign. Two sources confirmed to NBC News that Obama and Biden met over lunch in December and discussed the campaign, with Obama expressing deep concern about Mr. Trump's political strength. Underscoring the urgency, one source telling me this is an all-hands-on-deck moment.
I will say it once, I'll say it again. Donald Trump needs to have the best security ever because they are basically acknowledging they can't take him out. 700 years in federal prison. The court dates are not lining up the way they would have hoped. That rabid dog Jack Smith is swinging and missing. And all of a sudden, we actually might have an election. I'm going to play one more piece of tape here. Then I'm going to get into, obviously, the next play, which is the play they're trying to do anyway, which is just get him off the ballot. Get him off the ballot. This is Jim Clyburn. Listen carefully here. This is one of the ruling class Democrats. Play cut 8.
How worried are you about black voters showing up for President Biden in November?
Well, I'm not worried. I'm very concerned. I have no problem with the Biden administration and what it has done. My problem is that we have not been able to break through that MAGA wall in order to get to people exactly what this president has done.
Break through that MAGA wall? If you're ever wondering that our movement is not strong, just look at how they talk about us. Break through the MAGA wall. Barack Obama's worried about Trump's strength. Now, there's two ways to analyze this. It could be a lot of preemptive Democrat bluster to get their donors on board, get their consultants paid, and they would rather over panic than under panic. I actually think the second explanation is legit. I think they're stumbling into telling the truth. I think they're saying the quiet part out loud. I think they're so worried that Trump does have political strength that they're saying, we're going to just exhaust all of our concerns publicly. We are going to pull the alarms early. We're going to go DEFCON 1, which is the highest level DEFCON. We are not going to play games anymore. But if you were a Democrat, what else can you do? He's already facing 700 years in federal prison. The entire economy is nearly collapsing. Now, a JP Morgan strategist predicts that Biden will pull out of the presidential race over poor health. That is what a JP Morgan strategist has predicted. According to their official documents, J. J.P. Morgan says President Biden withdraws sometime between Super Tuesday and the November election, citing health reasons. Biden will pass the torch to a replacement candidate named by the Democrat National Committee. Now, that is Jamie Dimon's operation, and he's pretty tied in. Whether or not that proves to be true, we shall see. But the obvious play is ballot access, ballot access. And that is what David French decides to spend his time on in the New York Times. David French writes, the case for disqualifying Trump is strong. Quote, since the rise of Trump, he and his movement have transgressed constitutional, legal, and moral boundaries at will. And then when Americans attempt to impose consequences for those transgressions, Trump's defenders and critics alike caution that the consequences will be dangerous and destabilizing. Okay, so where are the real constitutional and legal transgressions from, Mr. French? Who is plotting to pack the Supreme Court? Whose election plan relies on putting the opposition leader in prison and taking him off the ballot? Who has not only destroyed our border, but made it basically illegal to try and restore it? Time out. So this is the left's argument. Understand, the left's argument is for the first time in American history to indict a former president, first time in American history to put a former president in prison, first time in American history to put a former president off the ballot, and the first time in American history to reshape the entire way we do elections. What is the right's argument? Get more votes than the other guys in the states that matter. Which is the one that is running to actually preserve the institutions? What is actually shocking the other side, and you could call this maybe an adjustment post January 6th, is how much Donald Trump is playing into the integrity of the system. That's actually shocking them, and it's bothering them. The fact that Donald Trump is like, yeah, let's just go win. They want him to say something else. They want him to do something else. They're trying to provoke him to say language, to say and get angry and to say, oh, screw the election, all that. And then he's like, let's just go win. Let's just go win. Bothers them because he's actually using the trusted, quote unquote, trusted institution against them. What is David French's proof of unprecedented transgressions by Trump supporters? It's this, quote, there is a surge in violent threats against the justices of the Supreme Court. Oh, wow, a surge of threats, David French. If you want to see threats, check my email inbox. I get death threats daily. We just got one today. Someone that says that they're going to murder me. Not a joke. But if the threats to judges you care about, maybe we should remember that a man was literally arrested for a gun near the home of Brett Kavanaugh plotting to kill him over the Dobbs decision. Left-wingers spam the addresses of court justices after that ruling. And the left is professional and organized about harassing their enemies at their private homes. And David French is mad that a few idiots on the internet made some threats? And this is published in the New York Times? And David French is taken seriously? He's an intellectual lightweight. He's a nimwit. This is not, I mean, I would say if at least he made a good argument, I'll give him credit here. This is deranged. French literally equates Trump saying that his supporters should, quote, fight like hell with the Confederacy revolting in the Civil War. Quote, it's true that Trump wasn't declaring a breakaway republic, but he was attempting to seize and hold far more than the Capitol. What? He was trying to illegally retain control of the executive branch of government. His foot soldiers didn't wear gray or deploy cannons, but they did storm the U.S. state's capital, something the Confederate Army could never accomplish. Okay. So if you read the left and you read David French carefully, their criticism of Donald Trump indecipherably goes back and forth between two separate attack vectors. Trump is such a moron, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he can never assume power again, to he's so sophisticated that he almost overthrew the entire government. It kind of goes between the two. So which is it, David French? Is it that he's such a moron that he's bought by Vladimir Putin and he doesn't know what he's doing? Or that he's such a mastermind that he was more successful than Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis? Hey, everybody. Exciting news. Very, very important. We are saving babies with preborn. You've heard me talk about this all throughout the year, and time is running out on this great dollar-for-dollar match. I have donated money here, and you should too. Through December 31st, you can save twice as many babies by providing ultrasounds. But this match goes away soon, so don't put it off another minute. You've heard about and thought about and talked about it and maybe even prayed about it, but right now is the time to do something about it. If you're wondering about your end of year giving and want every dollar to get the most results, this is a great chance to maximize your gift for life. And for a one-time $15,000 gift, you'll provide not just one ultrasound machine, but two, saving thousands of babies for years to come. $280 saves 10 babies, $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day, and right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That's the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. $280 saves 10 babies. $280 saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. charliekirk.com, preborn banner. The best part about not having your team be in the national championship game is you actually get to enjoy the national championship game. So I'm looking forward to actually watching it as a fan. The worst part is your team's not in the national championship game. So it's Michigan v. Washington. Michigan. If Michigan were to win, I'll give you my prediction in a second. I think Harbaugh leaves. I think he's done. I think he's going pro. Be the end of a pretty sweet story. But I have probably watched the Washington team every week. I think I've seen them every week. They've been on TV almost every single week. And every so often you see a team like the Washington team. And being a very, very committed Oregon Ducks fan, pains me to say this. They just win. They know how to win. They have a very, very experienced crew. And there's something unique about what Washington has put together. I think Washington's going to take it tonight. Even though it's Michigan by 5.5 on the spread, I think Washington's going to shock the betting line. I wouldn't say shock the world. It wouldn't be that kind of an upset. But they have surprised me at every single turn. So Andrew's going to be really upset because he's going to say, I jinxed it. Everybody's picking Michigan. They haven't watched Washington like I have. Washington has, without a doubt, a far greater strength of schedule than what Michigan has. And they just win. They'll be down by 3 and up by 7. And they just kind of hang around. And they always find a way. They just kind of find a way. And they scrap. And whether it was in the Apple Cup or Oregon both times. And they don't blow teams out. At least they haven't recently. If you look at their, they barely beat Arizona State, which is like a high school football team. Yet they win. They just win. They're 14-0. And they have, I'm telling you, that Romo Odunze guy, he is one of the most talented wide receivers. That guy has a chance to be an NFL Hall of Famer. Not an exaggeration. That guy is a specimen. Okay. I sent out a tweet this weekend that has gone viral, and I want to read it for you. It has been viewed nearly 2 million times on TwitterX.com. Imagine being President Trump's shoes for a moment on January 6th as you get word the Capitol is being swarmed. You were considered a near lock to be a two-term president in February 2020. You delivered one of the best economies ever seen for 3 years before China unleashed a lab-grown virus on the planet. You warned states repeatedly of the dangers of mass mail-in voting, but Democrats forced the measure through anyways. You watched as election officials caved to COVID fear-mongering to relax election integrity measures, violating election laws and state constitutions. You witnessed 51 intelligence officials collude with big tech to censor a bombshell story about a laptop that directly implicated Joe Biden. You campaigned tirelessly to sold-out arenas crisscrossing the country with historic enthusiasm. Your opponent is a two-time failed candidate disqualified for plagiarism who barely survived the primary and then barely left his basement during the campaign. You win 74.2 million votes, more than any other presidential candidate has ever won. You learn that somehow 159 million people voted, the largest turnout in U.S. history, beating the previous record by 20 million votes, the first time more than 140 million people voted, and the highest percentage turnout in 120 years. You somehow lose by 42,000 votes in 3 states among a host of irregularities, Dropbox scandals, and controversies, and despite winning practically every bellwether county and state, you think back and remember they spied on your campaign, invented a fake Russia hoax, impeached you, and constantly smeared and lied about you in the media. You remember that anarchists and race hustlers unleashed months of riots and chaos in a possible domestic color revolution. You remember that you offered National Guard troops on January 6th, but the offer was denied by Nancy Pelosi and Muriel Bowser. You remember what you said just hours before to peacefully and patriotically march. You remember everything you'd given up in your previous life to be hated, attacked, and vilified by the DC snakes, insiders, and elitists. Your own VP just fist bumped Nancy Pelosi, Mike Pence, inside the Capitol. You realize the entire DC cabal has conspired and plotted to hand the White House to a puppet they could control. Is it any wonder why Trump might have been a little upset on January 6th? He wasn't responsible for what happened, despite what the media says. It was 4 years of lying, cheating, and betrayal by those who wanted to get Trump at all costs. Nevertheless, he gathered himself and released a video telling people to go home, an act the illegitimate J6 committee tried to criminalize. Then they tried to impeach him again. Despite all of it, he decided to come back and retake the White House and finish what he started, a decision that provoked the Biden DOJ to indict him with multiple times for 700 years in federal prison. Who else could endure what Donald Trump has? The fact he's still running, the fact that he has not given up, is a direct threat to the regime. He is anti-fragile. He has grown stronger the more they have thrown at him. We are a week out from the Iowa caucus. I have a feeling this primary is going to be over pretty quick. The more that they attack him, the stronger that man gets. Love him or hate him, we've never seen anything quite like it in modern American political history. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.